Hour number two, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Wednesday. Hope everybody's having a good day thus far. Probably getting hungry. We're getting hungry. Listen to us when you go out for lunch. Also, tonight, Smashville Live. Craig Smith and Austin Watson. That's going to be a lot of fun. Crazy Legs and Waddy. And by the way, you could ask him about Goodfellas.
I will. I will.
You heard it in my interview in pregame yesterday. He's all about it. Craig Smith is a huge fan of the movie Goodfellas, and he liked it.
So he's Ray Liotta. I loved how he said, so Rocco's Pesci, right?
I didn't say it either. But we kind of said it on the show.
Now, yeah. Does Craig Smith have any Italian blood somewhere in the makeup?
I just think
what's the thing you can do? You can find your whole percentage of what's the name of that? How do you do that? You send your
you're talking about like your family tree?
Yeah. Well, your family tree is one thing. Ancestry.com.
Yeah.
That's yourself. But isn't there a thing you can put your blood or your DNA into something and they can tell you your breakdown?
23andMe.
Is that right? Yeah.
I think
That's what it's called. Yeah. Where you can say, you know, Darren is 10% this and 40% Irish and 10% Welsh or, you know, whatever it is.
I know
that was Ray Liotta, right? Ray Liotta in the movie Goodfellas is part Italian, but not enough. He's not pure Sicilian blood, so he can't be made, right? So he's the outsider. That was the idea the caller had. He explained that on the phone call. Mm-hmm. When he said Goodfellas, he had the two Italians and the non-Italian.
Right. Benigno is De Niro.
Yeah.
Pesci and Grimaldi.
Now, is
Smith and
Benigno
Liotta.
And Grimaldi weighed in on this yet?
Well, Benigno was walking up on the conversation as I was interviewing Craig. And so, no, I didn't get a chance to talk to him.
And how interesting was it last night that they played against Pesci?
I know. Isn't that crazy?
I was laughing every time we were laughing. Pete called his name.
Different spelling, but yeah. Pesci nonetheless.
It's like, really? The timing. Really good.
Looking forward to tonight.
Yep. Smashville Live, Cool Springs, Brewhouse South. That location is 1855 Galleria Boulevard. Show is from 7 until 8 o'clock. It's on the back end of the mall, Cool Springs Galleria, if you're not familiar with the area. There'll be a limited number of autographs and pictures. So make sure you get there early. Tonight's Smashville Live is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Yeehaw Brewing Company, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. Chase McCabe and Hal Gill, along with Craig Smith and Austin Watson.
Yes,
it's a fun night.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Those guys are awesome, so it'll be fun.
Fun night. All right, Derrick Henry was the special guest of Taylor Lewan and Will Compton on Bussin' with the Boys. And it was brought up about the picture. I think it was what started the Tom Brady pictures, you know, remember? Oh, my gosh, they're at NBA. Oh, my gosh, they're at Ensworth. And all that stuff. That kind of what started the conversation, which then led to Ryan Tannehill. But here's what Derrick Henry had to say.
Have you seen the stuff about Tom Brady looking at schools in Tennessee?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think I've seen something on Twitter about it.
What would you think if Tom Brady came to the Titans?
I would think, why isn't Ryan Tannehill good enough?
Ooh. It's a good argument. So you're saying, well, Tannehill's what, 31 years old?
I think Tannehill's 31, yep.
And Brady's would be 41?
I mean, he still can play. I mean, like,
no question,
obviously age doesn't matter for, you know, him. He's still playing at a high level. So, I mean, but my question would be, why isn't Ryan good enough, you know?
So, once again, what else would you expect him to do? That's his teammate. That's who he just went through the battles with the second half of the season and all the way to the AFC.
But Taylor Lewan,
his other teammates asking the question.
Well, but that's his job. That's what he's doing. He's doing a podcast.
It's not his day job.
Right, but you can't say, well, what do you expect him to say? I mean, Taylor Lewan, you could turn around and say, well, why would you ask that question if you're the Titans? Like, you're under contract with us. That's your teammate. Kind of goes both ways.
All he's doing is saying, did you see there was speculation that Tom Brady was looking at schools around town. It's not like I don't know if people know this, but they don't call in the players and say, guys, this is who we're targeting. This is who we're going to be talking to. We've been thinking about maybe a new right tackle. So you may hear some stuff. Okay, just ignore everything. They don't have those talks.
Companies don't
do
that.
The players are gone. Okay, they don't talk to the players.
Yeah.
No, so I Taylor Wan is in the same boat as us. He doesn't get a phone call like, hey, Taylor, just want to let you know. Tom Brady is over at Innsworth, okay? And just a heads up, you may see some pictures. That doesn't happen. So he's just asking. He's just like all of us. Like, hey, yeah. did you see that crazy stuff going around that Giselle and Tom Brady are out looking at schools in Nashville? What would you think if he was here? By the way, it's not like he's talking about a quarterback that's got 4 more years on a contract. He is a UFA.
I know. But still, I mean, I think they're both teammates right now.
Right now.
Until March 17th or whatever it is.
A couple more weeks, and then he might not be. He will be, but I'm just saying.
Right.
It's not like he's talking about a quarterback that's under contract. And it's like, why are you talking about Tom Brady when your quarterback has 3 more years?
But to that argument, Derrick Henry's about to be a free agent as well. So he could have definitely said, man, it'd be fun to play with Tom Brady. I mean, he's the GOAT. To me, there's not a wrong answer in this situation. He can say whatever he wants. Now, he probably...
But don't you think it's kind of a dangerous game to play? We love for our show that they're doing that.
We're sitting here arguing about it.
Have you listened to Bussin' with the Boys? The whole thing is dangerous.
I know.
That's why Barstool picked it up. I mean, look, they've made a brand for themselves.
They have, right.
Yeah. But, like, if you're in certain situations, like this one, Derrick Henry is holding the cards, right? He can probably say whatever he wants, and the Titans aren't going to – they want him back. But I think it would be smart for some agents sometimes to say, okay, when you go on that show, just be careful, right? You're going to – it's loose. You're with your friends. You're with your teammates.
How do you even know that you think that they knew he was going on? You think Taylor Lewan said, hey,
ask your agent if you can come on my show.
No. Taylor Lewan probably called up Derek and said, hey, we need you on the show Monday.
Come on. Yeah.
It sounded like they went through the – I don't think he sent an email to Robbie and Dwight and said, hey.
Not at all.
Monday, we were looking for Derrick Henry. Do you think he can make him available for Bussing with the Boys?
So you're Jimmy Sexton. You probably didn't even know he was – like Jimmy Sexton probably doesn't even know that he's going on. Right. But if he did, he would probably say, okay, Derek, just be careful because they're going to be – everybody will be watching to see what you say.
Sure.
And if you say something, it's going to be something that could end up on SportsCenter, even if you're just hanging out there with the boys.
Or a sports talk radio show.
You're hanging with the boys, but what you say is being scrutinized and could end up all over.
Not hanging, you're bussing.
First of all, that's not true. Things on podcasts don't get out there, and there's not consequences for things you say on podcasts.
Okay, JR.
I'm sorry. Too soon on JR Ronick? Well, no.
JR,
I didn't say it was too soon. I laughed.
Well, that's what's doubly dangerous. This isn't any podcast. This is a similar to Spit and Chicklets, right? This is the laid-back, unfiltered, we're going to talk about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be stuff that can air on a regular radio show or
Derrick
a TV
Henry
show.
Derrick Henry is in a locker room every day with Taylor Lewan. So you think he knows what he's getting when he goes on that podcast?
It's not to talk about.
Hey, Derek, what's your favorite restaurant?
Jeremy Roenick, you think he
didn't
know?
Seen any good movies?
You think if you picked up Jeremy Roenick before that interview and said, Jeremy, when you go in there, I just want you to watch out what you say because you know how this podcast rolls. But, like, he knew that, and he still got sucked in saying stuff that he should not have said. And it got him fired. I just think that atmosphere, you can get lulled into just being so comfortable.
Of course.
And so open, and you don't want to disappoint the guys. You're like, you want to be one of the guys?
Would you say Mike Vrabel's guarded?
He's pretty guarded.
Yeah.
And he still said something that is...
And he still made news last year.
Nobody will forget that quote.
I want to know, like...
Forever.
Forever!
Look, the Bussin' with the Boys isn't... It's not the first of its kind. You brought up Spit and Chicklets, and there have been others where players that are still active that are doing things because we have that capability now. But you do have to wonder behind the scenes, like how the league, the teams, how they all feel about it, because there's no filter. They're just gonna be their own media. They're gonna do whatever.
Teams want to control everything.
Right, but can they? They can't really control this.
No, and they shouldn't. They want to control everything, and they shouldn't.
But the fact, in a prime example, is the fact that the head coach went on there and said what he said and was just completely loose.
Why do you think the NBA has a certain level of popularity that it does, which is very high?
Because they let the players be the players?
The players get to be the players.
Yeah.
The players have personality. If you are an NBA fan and you follow NBA players, Elijah, you watch the NBA, you know your NBA players. There's no secrets. Like, you know what they're about. Mm-hmm. You know what shoes they endorse. You know everything about them because
they have shoes.
They put it out there.
And in a lot of cases, even some of the players that aren't that good are like Instagram celebrities. Kyle Kuzma isn't that good, but he is an Instagram celebrity because of his personality. And he's more known than players that he's nowhere in the same class as.
I wasn't aware of this, but Brandon Wright kind of brought it to light when he was with us in the studio a couple weeks ago. And I didn't think about that. Like, the whole – isn't there a big thing between Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid?
Oh, yeah.
Right? There's a lot of it is
some
social
weird
media
tension.
Driven. Yeah.
Yes. And a lot of it's very passive-aggressive social media tension. But, like, it makes watching Sixers games a lot weirder, a lot more different. It's a little more tense watching them play together because they broadcast every aspect of their life on social media and on podcasts specifically.
But it gets them a lot of attention.
It gets them a lot of attention, and it probably drives old school coaches and basketball people crazy.
I didn't say that people behind the scenes like it, but it has helped that sport. I mean, yeah, it helps to have LeBron James, and it helps to have Giannis and these guys that are outstanding players and Harden, but they also get to be them. I mean, what have football players complained about forever? Nobody knows that they don't really get to – they don't get promoted. They don't get to be out there, right? It's all about the shield. It's all about the league. It's not about them. I mean, I think Major League Baseball has – we've talked about it, Willie, for how long? They've done probably the poorest job of trying to promote their players. They're around the longest.
Hockey gets that criticism to a degree, right?
They play the long – baseball plays the longest season, and yet you could say they're pretty bad about promoting their players. I don't know. I mean,
but when the players do it themselves.
How many people know Mike Trout? I mean, honestly, what do you know about Mike Trout other than he plays for the Angels and he's great? What do you know about him?
It's got to be natural, though. We know that Mike Trout, people put microphones in front of him a lot.
You're right. You're right. He's not.
That's not
a good
his
point.
Thing,
he doesn't,
right?
He doesn't go out of his
it's
way.
It's not Derek Jeter in front of a camera.
Yeah. You're right. He does not have P.K. Subban in him where he is going to go. Like, P.K. Subban, to his credit, I mean, the league doesn't do that for him. The teams don't do that for him. He does it himself. And the reason he gets all that attention that drives some people crazy is because he's willing to put in the effort. He's willing to do it. He's willing to put himself out there.
And there's a lot less hockey guys like that than there are basketball guys. Mm-hmm. So you get more attention and you get more backlash because of it when you do it in hockey.
We come back. There was a spirited debate about this very topic on Get Up, and I'll kind of tell you where everybody was siding on this, but we'll discuss that on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. So, Elijah, if people just tuned in, let's let them hear the clip again. Derrick Henry on Bussin' with the Boys, Taylor Lewan, Will Compton, and we'll go from there.
Have you seen the stuff about Tom Brady looking at schools in Tennessee?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think I've seen something on Twitter about it.
What would you think if Tom Brady came to the Titans?
I would think, why isn't Ryan Tannehill good enough?
Ooh.
It's a good argument. So you're saying, well, Tannehill's what, 31 years old?
I think Tannehill's 31, yep.
And Brady's would be 41?
I mean, he still can play. I mean, like,
no question,
obviously age doesn't matter for, you know, him. He's still playing at a high level. So, I mean, but my question would be, why isn't Ryan good enough, you know?
We said this yesterday when talking about the ceiling is the roof or the floor or all the other, that whole stuff, that Derrick Henry is a team guy. He's not a me guy. Which is another reason he's also the face of the franchise. Let's just be perfectly honest. He is the fan favorite. And he is a team guy. So he is exactly what you're looking for to have on an NFL roster. He led the league in rushing last year. He's a team guy. He's the face of the franchise and a fan favorite. These are all components that they're going to have to pony up and keep him around. So not surprised that he took up as a team guy for Ryan Tannehill, and he didn't go down that rabbit hole of talking about Tom Brady, which was smart. But get up this morning. They chose to go down that rabbit hole because that's what you do on television shows and radio shows. You talk about this stuff. And, of course, they had their panel of 14 experts. How they work them all in, I yet to figure that out, but Goldberg does a good job of doing that. Or Greenberg.
Goldberg?
Goldberg. I don't know why I said Goldberg. That's a wrestler.
He's a wrestler, yeah.
How would I accidentally say a wrestling
football
guy?
He played for the Falcons.
He did. He had a short football career.
Whoopi Goldberg?
Bill Goldberg.
Okay.
Not Whoopi.
But they were, Marcus Spears was a part of it. Tannenbaum was a part of it. And we know how he feels, right? He's the one who drafted Tannehill in Miami, and he is a huge fan. He has been very outspoken, and to his credit, you know,
he was right.
He's been right. He has absolutely been backing up about what Ryan Tannehill is going to bring to the table, and he delivered when he took over. Well, I'm sure Tannehill feels pretty good right now about that. And I'm trying to remember, Jeff Saturday was there as well. But Spears loses his mind. Because it was kind of like when we've been talking about this. Everybody's kind of making their case, and Saturday is a team guy, he's an offensive lineman, right? And so he's going to be on the Henry camp about Tannehill. We know where Tannenbaum is, right? He's definitely in the Tannehill camp. And I forget the other guy, former player, and I can't.
Dominic Foxworth?
No.
Is it him? Not today?
Nope.
Ryan Clark?
Nope. He's been on there a lot.
Ninkovich?
No. Anyway, I'm drawing blanks on who the other guy is, a former player. He's been on a lot. NFL Live, Get Up, what have you. And him and Spears are absolutely losing their mind with the other two about, like, it's Tom Brady, man. It's for a season. By the way, he's going to be 43, not 41.
Right. There is a difference.
Marcus Spears, his whole point is if you have Tom Brady and you're the Titans and you're talking about going for it for this upcoming season, who's kidding who? He's like, you have the GOAT and you've got 1 year to try to get it done. It's like, what are we talking about? I mean, he was absolutely losing his mind for, you know, all the reasons that everybody would think, because it's Tom Brady and all the success that he's had, and he's getting backed up. And Jeff Saturday and Tannenbaum are taking more of, well, Tannehill performed great. They got to the AFC Championship game. He's much younger. You know, that's the route you need to go.
We had it the day after the AFC Championship.
We talked about it a lot.
It's a compelling what-if question that we still don't know if we'll ever even have a real choice here.
CBS Sports did an article 51 minutes ago on this.
Really?
Tom Brady to be a free agent in 2020. Best landing spots, projected contract, latest updates, rumors, and more. And they list five teams that they think would be a good fit for him. Care to take a guess?
The Titans are number one.
Titans are not number one.
Patriots are number one. After the Patriots, the Titans.
Titans are actually number four.
Hmm.
I don't know if they're really in a particular order, but they have the Patriots first. But the Titans are on that list.
Then who?
Chargers, Raiders, Dolphins. Outside of the Patriots.
Three bad teams?
Yeah, outside of the Patriots, I think the Titans,
they're the best team by far.
Yeah.
Of the other ones.
And they might even be a better fit than the Patriots, considering the weapons that he would have around him.
It's silly to say that out loud, but, I mean, there may be. Now, they know they have to address that stuff, too, so we don't know what they're going to do this offseason, right? We don't know what they're going to do in free agency. We don't know what they're going to do in the draft. But they didn't get into some of the stuff that we've got, or at least I've brought up here locally. I mean, I've said, what have we been talking about for years? They have a ticket problem, an attendance problem. The only time it looks like it's got the atmosphere you're looking for week in and week out is when a team that brings 25,000 of their fans mm-hmm. are in the stadium. And I said, yes, Tom Brady, the success, and so that should be there in place with what they've built, should be in place, should have them at the same level, if not better, than this past year. But also, you now take away the ticket discussion. They sell out every game. Like that's kind of a big deal. It's been a long time since we've had that discussion. They sell out every game. And quite honestly, if you have a good team and if you brought in Tom Brady and you didn't sell out every game, you probably need to put the team up for sale and just get out. Because if you can't make that work, I don't know how you're going to make it work.
Yeah.
So that problem goes away. You should have sellouts every game, every home game. It should be a real crazy atmosphere like it used to be. That has to factor in. And, oh, by the way, you think merchandise sales will be up? I mean, hello. Skyrocket. So there's a lot of good. And, oh, by the way, if you think, even if it's just for a year, Marcus Spears even brought this up. Because Saturday's, one of his rebuttal was, the Titans, if the Texans didn't sit everybody, they could have lost that game. They don't even make the playoffs.
Right.
And Spears' counter was, well, you don't think Tom Brady accounts for like 3 wins? I was like, okay, that's... Look, it's hard to argue that.
Can you know that at age 43? He is the GOAT. He is the GOAT.
How many wins did they have this year on what we said was a pretty average? Of all the Patriots team, it was pretty average. How many wins did they have in regular season?
12.
12. He won 12 games with what we are deeming as a pretty average Patriots team.
They had a pretty good defense.
Now he's a year older.
Nothing special about it, and they still won 12 games.
That defense was pretty good.
Number one defense in the league.
Yeah. I'm not going to take anything away from the defense. The offense, that's where they had the weak spots, but outside of him. And he showed signs of
his age. What proof is there that things are not 11, 12, 13 wins with Tom Brady under center?
There's no proof either way.
Where is there an 8-8? Where is there a 9-7?
I don't know. He could come here and all of a sudden it's like, oh, Belichick was the magic potion and he sucks and his arm basically goes to nothing and they win 3 games. We don't know. That's a stretch to think that would happen, but we don't know either way what's going to happen.
If he were 39 or 40, don't you think it's different than turning 43? I mean, 43 is almost unprecedented. You know, other than George Blanda.
Super Bowl loss, Super Bowl win, wild card out, next year fall off a cliff. It's really hard to think that he's been, that's by the way, since he's been in his 40s.
But that's what happened
with Peyton. Super Bowl loss, Super Bowl win, wild card loss. Now this year, just completely, he can't move, can't throw. Can't do anything. That's kind of a stretch. That's a stretch.
But that's not what. That's not
Darren. That's kind of what happened with Peyton Manning. Really.
He didn't have 3 neck surgeries.
Well, okay, but well, he
you,
came.
Wait
back.
A minute, you roll your eyes.
No,
like,
but he came back
that
from
is
the
kind
neck,
of a big deal.
He came back from the neck surgery and had career
set
numbers.
He also sat out a year, and he had 3 neck surgeries. That's kind of a big deal to factor in.
It is a big deal.
But he set the NFL touchdown pass record
right.
after the neck surgery.
He proved it wrong. Like, he proved that it didn't affect him. He came back and he was better than ever.
But
so,
what Chase is saying is he,
but
from
then he
there,
fell off.
Still, aged. And then by the time they won the Super Bowl, he was a shell of that. He still managed to get him there. But
in 2014, he was 38 years old. He went 12-4, had 395 completions, 4,700 yards, 39 touchdowns. The next year, he missed games because of injury. 7-2 as a starter still, but had 9 touchdowns. That was the cliff. And then he retired.
Took him to the Super Bowl twice. How many years was he there? 4? Twice in 4 years. You think that's a coincidence?
You're going to give him all the credit for taking him to the Super Bowl honestly, that final year?
You don't really think it's – so why have they been back? How the Broncos been post Peyton Manning?
Defense hadn't been as good either.
You don't think the greatest quarterbacks of all time. You don't think that there's. You think it's just about arm strength?
No, I didn't say that.
How do you get to be the greatest of all time? You think maybe they do something different than everybody else? You think it's about throwing a 60-yard pass? They don't have to look like Patrick Mahomes. There's a reason.
Brock Osweiler looked pretty good in that stretch, too.
He took the Broncos to the Super Bowl twice. And since then, they've been a pile of garbage. You think that's a coincidence? Oh, everything fell apart. It's just all the bad moves caught. No, it's called Peyton Manning mask problems. Tom Brady mask problems. Those guys are great for a reason. It just doesn't happen accidentally. There's a reason why they get there.
But we don't know what Peyton Manning looked like at 43 because he didn't play at 43.
Right, he retired at 39. And it was because that last year he had used it all up. He didn't play the whole season. Brock Osweiler sucks, and he sucked everywhere that he went except for that 1 year in Denver. He did enough to keep them afloat, and you have to credit the defense. It wasn't all Peyton Manning. Peyton had something to do with it, for sure. I'm not taking that away.
I'm just saying that Peyton Manning, by the last year, was not the same Peyton Manning.
That's what I'm saying.
As the first time they went to the Super Bowl.
You remember the Bears 2 years ago? You remember the Bears 2 years ago?
That was in his late 30s. We're talking about Tom Brady, who has done an amazing job of anti-aging.
Tom Brady and Peyton Manning take that Bears team to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. That's the difference. It was Trubisky.
Tom Brady at what age?
I don't care.
What do you mean
they
don't care?
Take those teams Tom Brady to the Super Bowl.
Tom Brady at age 60?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, you have to put the
but
age.
But you're saying the last year that Peyton
That's
played.
That's the difference.
You're
That's
saying
the difference. Trubisky, those guys, that team, that defense, they're in the Super Bowl, probably winning it. That's the difference between
Not at age 60.
I'm talking about.
The age matters. Nobody would argue with you if it's Tom Brady or Peyton Manning in their prime, but Tom Brady is about 43.
Tom Brady was in the Super Bowl, so 2 years ago.
That was 2 years ago.
Okay, so Tom Brady 2 years ago.
He's aged since
then. It would
be
the Bears in the Super Bowl and winning it.
He's aged since then.
But you're saying, the final year of his career that he took the Broncos to the Super Bowl. Yes, he was a part of that, but he didn't do it on his own like he has in years past.
The defense carried that team to the Super Bowl.
If they don't have that defense, they don't win that Super Bowl.
So you think you just plug anybody in there and they still get to the Super Bowl? Really?
That's not what we're saying.
So put anybody under that center with that defense and they go to the Super Bowl.
Is that what you're telling me? His stats that year were not good.
Are you telling me that there was plug and play? Whoever's under center with that defense, they go to the Super Bowl.
We didn't say that. That's not what we're saying. But you're saying he took them to the Super Bowl, which it was a true team effort that year. Now, a few years before when they lost to Seattle, okay, I put a lot of that on Peyton Manning. But that last year, no, it's the defense, it was him, it was Osweiler, it was a combination. It wasn't just him.
And he was, 36 or 37 that year?
When they lost to Seattle?
Yeah. That's different than 43. Even though Tom Brady has aged well.
I don't want to talk about Osweiler anymore.
I'm sorry.
Osweiler talk.
Sorry to bring him up. He was a part of that.
What about Bobby Brister, Brian Greasy? No. You want to bring other guys in there?
Don't bring that up to a Steelers fan. If you say Bobby Brister, you may get popped in the nose. Come back. More of Darren, Tonic, and Chase next. You want to travel with the Predators this year? Well, not with them. But you want to go see them on the road?
Yeah.
You're going to be there.
I am.
Saturday, March 14th, Nationwide Arena, Columbus, Ohio. Blue Jackets and Preds. We're hitting the road. Another trip, just like last year to St. Louis. It'll be a big hit. Tickets are on sale right now. To purchase them, go to thegamenashville.com. The trip has been organized by simplyafan.com. You can go check out their website for other upcoming sports adventures, and transportation will be provided by Gray Line of Tennessee. That should be a lot of fun. We'll talk hockey with Chris Mason at 1 o'clock. I will say this. I still have not seen one play live of the XFL yet.
I have not either.
You guys are missing out.
No, I'm not. I don't think I am.
I'm not actively, I'm not protesting.
You can't say that because you haven't watched it. You can't say,
I don't feel like I'm missing anything.
You don't know. You don't know
no,
that.
No, I have plenty of sports that I'm interested in and watching right now. Football season has happened, and I enjoyed my football season. I was all in. I watched everything. I need a break. Now, I did love the USFL, which was a spring league, and I really enjoyed the Arena Football League when they played at this time of the year. I did.
So maybe, why aren't you giving this a chance?
It's not that I'm not giving it a chance. I'm too busy. And I'm not
what
craving
football. What could you possibly
football.
Have going on?
It's March Madness is coming. I'm working on the bubble right now,
Chase. I was
going to
say, tomorrow?
Tomorrow we got to look at the bubble.
Ooh, our first installment of Willie's Bubble Watch.
And I'm anticipating baseball. Right? It's coming. Spring training is starting. College baseball is starting. I love baseball. I love my football. I just need a little break.
Well, Willie, I'm here to help you.
Yeah, are you?
To tell you that the D.C. Defenders are currently undefeated at 2-0.
The D.C. Defenders.
They're looking to set XFL records.
That is my team, by the way. I'm just telling you right now.
You going with them?
Yeah. You know why?
Because they're undefeated?
No.
You're jumping on the bandwagon?
No. I went to Bryan Station. High school, Bryan Station, Defenders.
Oh.
The Defenders.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay.
So we were the Defenders. That's my team.
I don't know any of the nicknames. I don't know what cities they play
in. I'm trying
to
tell you. The D.C. Defenders lead the East at 2-0.
Who's their coach?
We'll get to that.
Oh, you don't know. Who's their quarterback?
We'll get to that. Is
Cardale Jones?
Is that?
I think that's Cardale Jones.
Yeah.
Most importantly, they have a cornerback named Elijah Campbell. So that's my fandom.
They do.
Lies
I'm
with
DC
the DC
defenders. Yeah.
All
I'm
the
DC
way.
Get his
defenders.
Jersey.
Exactly. Hey, I've tried to book him before. I mean, he's repping the brand.
The DC Defenders coach is Pep Hamilton.
Pep Hamilton. Now there's a football name.
And then the Houston Roughnecks in the West, they are also undefeated at 2-0. So there you go. That's your XFL update here on Darren Donick and Chase.
I'm sure it's
that
fine.
Was really in depth. That was great.
June Jones is the head coach of the Houston.
June
Roughnecks.
Jones. All right. Now there's a guy.
Of DC?
Houston.
Of Houston.
Fitting. He's got a lot of
Houston
ties.
You know who's talking to June Jones a lot in Houston?
John McClain.
John McClain. June. Jones. That's a nice win. Tell us about it.
Connor Cook is on the Houston Roughnecks. Good old Connor Cook.
Connor Cook. Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
DC Defenders. That's my team.
There you go. We'll get you a DC Defender shirt. Mark Weston Huff, that played for the Titans, he's a member of the Houston Roughnecks.
By the way, kudos to – were they handing out free cookies last night at Bridgestone Arena? Greg, who listens to the show, Gregory, he came and gave me a triple chunk chocolate chip cookie. He said they were giving out free cookies last night. I don't know. They never swing by Apparel House, give us anything. But he gave it to me, and I scarfed it down. It was really good. It was a Christie cookie. Mm. Really, really good.
I wouldn't turn that down.
Yeah, I'm all about the cookies.
No, I appreciate it.
I had half of one at second intermission because I'm trying to be good.
Huh?
I know.
Trying to be good.
I am. I'm trying to eat better, and it's working. People keep telling me I'm losing weight.
Solid.
Because you're only eating half of a cookie that's the size of a tire?
It's all
the No, the once cookies they have week, out, they're
they
like
do.
The size of a tire.
They're very large. They are large cookies.
So he's like, I only ate half of a tire.
Half a tire.
I'm losing weight.
I think it's that skate training you're doing on the ice.
It's that.
On the outdoor rink.
That's what it is.
Blades of Glory.
Oh, my goodness.
Maybe you should drink like Will Ferrell.
Did you see?
Remember when they were the mascot?
Yeah. So you just saw Greg's tweet?
Yeah.
Yeah. Blades of Glory. That's mm-hmm. good. It's a good name. Willie the backseat driver.
I just saw, we were talking about this, the big fight, the boxing, you know, we just had Caleb Plant win here on Saturday. Who's the big, Wilder, right, in Fury?
Yeah.
Saturday night. I was trying to look up who I just saw. One of them, there was a tweet, and I saw it during the break. One of them said that the part of their training to get ready for this is the reason I'm bringing it up because of what you said. One of them said, I usually drink 25 to 30 Cokes a day. I'm not doing that during while I'm training. 25 to 30.
A day?
A day.
Whoa. I've been bad, but never that bad.
How big is a serving?
I can't find
a 12 ouncer?
I would assume a can, I would hope. I don't think it's 2 liters.
You got to get an early start to get that many in, don't you?
25 to 30 a day.
That's more than one per hour in the hours you're awake, right? That's like two per hour. That's truly chain drinking. That's a chain.
That's bad.
That's time for an intervention.
Do you take a break at any time? Say, okay, I'm going to take this hour off.
Like, how jacked up are you? How does he sleep? 25 to 30 a day. Doesn't he have like constant shakes?
Might need a little self-evaluation there. And
yeah, and if you take yourself off of that, I mean, your body's going to go through withdrawals like no other.
Yeah, you think you have the shakes. Oof. At that time, you'll have the Oof. Shakes if you don't do it.
I mean, I like having shakes, not those
we,
shakes.
We know.
Not those shakes. All right, we'll come back and put a bow on the second hour next. Some SEC hoops action last night in Knoxville. Tennessee was up, I think, 12 with under a minute to go. Vandy got it all the way down to a bucket with less than 10 seconds to go. Then Tennessee hit a couple of free throws and won by four, 65-61.
But it was a game of runs. Vanderbilt did have a second-half lead pretty deep into the – not deep, but – first 10 minutes or so of the second
half.
They
were up, what, 9?
Yeah, they played much, much better. I mean, the game in Nashville a few weeks ago, the game was over.
They were up 8 or 9, and then the next time I looked, they were down 10.
Yeah, Tennessee took care of what they needed to, but again, if you want to look, what was the difference between the first time Vanderbilt played against Tennessee and the second time? Now, right before they played Tennessee, that was not long after they learned that Aaron Nesmith was going to be out probably for the season. So that could not have been a fun thing to stomach at that time. Right after they had played Auburn really tough with Nesmith all the way to the end. So they're probably in a much better mental place right now. But I do think it shows improvement. You can go to Tennessee and, you know, they different guys have different nights for Vanderbilt. Jordan Wright had a big night last night, just a freshman. You're going to have your
23
up
off the bench, not bad.
Yeah, career high for him so far. You just look at that and you
Did
say,
you ever have 23 off the bench?
No. I had 13 off the bench.
Okay.
But 23, no. And I didn't get off the bench my freshman year very much. I'll tell you, if those three guys, I look at Pippen, Wright, and Dylan Dessou and say, if they stick it out, could they be good SEC players for 4 years if they keep improving? I think they can, but you need those really good players around them. They've got to recruit. Now Vanderbilt plays a few teams coming up here that are beatable. Now they need to get a few more wins here. Georgia, I think, is up next for them.
Does Saban Lee bounce after this year?
That's a good question. He could come back. If he did, I mean, the dream would be to have Lee and Nesmith come back and the transfers that are sitting out. Now you've got some options and some depth that you could work with and have a pretty good team.
Good luck with that.
But I don't think that's going to happen, right? Lee is the one I wonder about. Neesmith, I would guess you would advise him to go pro unless his stock changes a lot.
Lee has done a whole lot of losing at Vanderbilt. I wonder how much that weighs on him.
You know,
he's won one conference game.
But you know what I admire? And I really admire how he plays despite that. Jimmy Dykes said this the other night when they – was he doing the game? I think it was the Kentucky game. He said, I love how that guy just keeps playing.
Mm-hmm.
He had over 20 again last night. He has a great attitude for a guy that could easily be beat down and say, you know what, I'm just going to get my shots up and forget it. He competes. I mean, if I'm a pro scout, I notice that about him. You know, he's still not the best shooter from the outside. He can really get to the basket, and he can elevate. He's not a great passer. Still got to work on that part of it. But, boy, can he explode to the basket. But that'll be a really interesting thing that he's got to
sit through. Look, I'm just bringing that up because you know it's got a weigh on him. I mean, he's unfortunately seen a whole lot of losing in the last season and a half. But he's also probably not ready. And so he could probably use, you know, he could come back.
Right.
That's the thing.
I mean,
he doesn't even get drafted, right? I don't think.
I wouldn't think he'd even get drafted. So.
I think you'd have to work really hard and up your stock and be one of those guys. Maybe it's a second round. And
there's no guarantee with that.
Yeah, would you be better off coming back? Now, he's an academically oriented guy. You know, his family is – I don't think he's sitting there going, boy, I need to start making money. I don't think that's the situation for him. Like his mom, so I think, was a Vanderbilt Law School graduate. You know, his dad is Amp Lee, who played in the NFL for a long time.
Would he go to the G League? Would that essentially be his, or go to Europe, or what would be his path?
I think there are a lot of people that think he could make the NBA eventually. It's just a question of, okay,
how does he get there? That's my question.
I think that's what's becoming. The G League is becoming more of a developmental league. Luke Kornet went to the G League and then up to the NBA.
Right.
There are some that do go overseas, but it's not. It used to be like if you're not in the NBA, unless you wanted to go into the Netherlands of the CBA, which was a crazy league, right? That was a tough league. The G League is much better run. Much better system of
It's affiliated with the NBA.
It's affiliated with the NBA, which that's a big, big thing. But I would imagine, Simi Chatu is playing in the G League,
right?
Right. So it's just a good question. What do you want? We talked to Tim Corbin earlier today about Jack Leiter, right? Jack Leiter could be ready to go. Ryan Weathers, who was committed to Vanderbilt, he chose to go pro, and he had a nice first year as a pro pitcher. It just all depends on what's your mindset. Do you like the college atmosphere? Where do you feel comfortable developing? Do you want to be a part of the program? It's a little easier when you're part of a winning program, Darren. That's a good point. I mean, are you beat down from getting beat, or do you want to say, hey, listen, I think if I come back and we bring this group back, we're going to be a lot better. That would be a satisfying thing. Jerry Stackhouse is a guy that has NBA background stuff. He is developing players. The players that he has, who are limited, have shown a lot of signs of improvement. So it's a really good question. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, look.
Last year, I don't think I would have said this guy could play in the NBA. This year, when I watch him play, I say, this guy could play in the NBA. But it's awfully tough to make that league.
That's why I lean towards, you know, come back for your senior year and see what happens. See if you can up your stock because, one, the team could be better. I don't know how much better, but, you know, based on all the things you were throwing out there with transfers and if Neesmith does decide that he wants to come back, then, you know, that changes a lot of things. So,
is he still projected Neesmith in the first round? I mean, he hasn't played in weeks, but I know this thing varies a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen one NBA mock draft that had him as high as 16. And then a couple that have had lower first round, early second, as in like one or two picks in the second round. So Neesmith is a guaranteed draftee.
Good for him. I mean, the good news for him is it's not loaded. This year's not great.
It's pretty weak overall.
The one I just pulled up, 16th to Orlando.
Personally, I would definitely take him in the lottery. just because of how well he shot this year with the large sample size. I mean, the guy shot 50% from three and threw up 8 threes a game. And a lot of those are contested because every team they play against know who's taking those shots.
This one also says Anthony Edwards first overall. Loved him in ER. Also loved him in Top Gun.
Jimmy Dykes did not like Anthony Edwards. When he came on with us, he did not. He said he's too inconsistent, too up and down. He was not glowing about Anthony Edwards. What?
I was with you. I'm a big ER fan.
Thank you.
Revenge of the Nerds.
He was in Top Gun. He was Goose.
He was Goose, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anthony Edwards. No, anyone? Sorry. Anyone?
That's all right.
Tim Hasselbeck.
Thank goodness.
Kick off the third hour. That's next.